This is Jerry G. Martin. Welcome to today's broadcast. We've been bringing you messages on family relationships. We've been talking to singles, and now we're talking to married couples. We are sharing a message today called The Covenant of Marriage. Marriage is more than a contract. It is a covenant between husband, wife, and God. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you've been through, it is God who ordained marriage, and He is looking at how we govern our marriage relationship. I want you to come and go with us today as we continue to share these messages. Invite a friend to listen in for the rest of the month so that their relationship can be enriched as well. Now come and go with us as we walk in the light of God's Word.
We have to think about covenant. See, we're not thinking covenant, we're thinking contract. And if we think that this is something I can't get out of, then we'll be a little bit more careful before we get into it. It was God Himself who officiated the first marriage covenant, and marriage was His idea. I want to look at that, and I want to show you that there are three reasons and three purposes that God instituted marriage. The first purpose that God instituted marriage, this is a biblical reason for marriage, and one of the first purposes is for procreation, for increase, to increase mankind. One of the first things He spoke to Adam and Eve was to be fruitful and multiply. That was to have children, to be fruitful and multiply. Some of y'all just added, but y'all haven't multiplied yet. You want to have one, because one is too many. They're getting in my way. But we got to multiply. I told somebody the other day, you know, they wanted to have 7 or 8 children. I said, go on and have 7 or 8. How can you feed that many? You can feed them. My mom fed 8. Her mother fed 16. And her mother's mother fed 18. You can make it. Now, you can't take them all out to McDonald's to eat. You're going to have to get a big pot of pinto beans and some cornbread. You can't be running to these fast food places talking about we can't make it. You're going to have to do like we used to do. Big pot of greens, some corn and potatoes. You got to get back to the basics. You can't go down to McDonald's and Fridays and everything with 18 kids and try to feed them. Amen. But you can make it. So He said, be fruitful and multiply. In fact, look at Malachi chapter 2:15. Has not God made them one in flesh and spirit, and they are His? And His scripture says, and why one? Because He is seeking a godly offspring. God is looking for an offspring, and a godly offspring, and a godly offspring in the context of the marriage family. And one of the reasons the enemy attacks families so much is so that they can be fractured and broken up, and so that there will not be godly offspring. There'll be offspring, but there won't be godly offspring. Because it's more difficult to raise children up in the church when they don't have a father and a mother in the home. As soon as that boy get 14, when mom, he ain't gonna want to go to church. We were doing some studies on evangelism one time, and I ran across this statistic that said, when you go out and you do evangelism work, you go out to apartments, a lot of people say, let's go get the children, and we get the children, we can get the parents. This study said, when children come to the church and you do that, you have about a 20% chance of getting the mother to come. And then when you get the mother to come, if she's married, you have maybe about another 20% chance of getting the father to come. But when you go out and get men to come to the church, you have about an 80% chance of getting a wife and the children. And if you look around in a church, there are very few married men who attend church whose wives doesn't come. But there are a lot of wives who attend church whose husband doesn't come. So God is looking for a godly offspring. If you would survey the men that are in prison, or even the women that are in prison, and ask how many came from a healthy home, and you see a large number of them came from broken families, unhealthy homes. So the battle is not for you per se. It is for your children. God is looking after the next generation. He says, I got to keep this thing going. And the devil is looking after the next generation too. If he can tear your house up, he can tear your family up. In our culture, we're so self-centered about me and my happiness that we'll let everything else go. So the first thing God wanted was procreation. The second thing God was said the purpose for marriage is partnership. In Genesis chapter 2, 18, the Lord said, it is not good for the man to be alone. It is not good for the man to be alone. And I will make a helper suitable for him. Now notice, it was God who said, it's not good for man to be alone. It wasn't Adam. Adam didn't even catch on that he had a problem. Well, you just can't miss what you never had. But God says that he doesn't know that he's incomplete. He doesn't know that he's all alone. He says, it is not good for man to be all alone. All alone means all one. Two words, all one. He's all one within himself. He thinks he's got everything that he needs, all self-sufficient. He can do it all by himself. But God said, the brother needs some help. Come on, brother, say, I need some help. See, the brother don't even know he needs some help. And God says, I'm making a helper for him. And so don't look at our wives when she try to help us. She'll try to help us. Say, straighten your tie. When you walk out the house, she'll say, that don't match. She's helping. Oh, God, she's helping. The brother needs some help. That's what God said. The brother needs some help. He says, I will make a helper for him. I will make a partner for him. And the Bible says in verse 21, so the Lord caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. God said, I don't even want you watching this. While he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to him. He brought her to the man. He brought a woman to the man. And God said, this is a helper who is suitable, who is fit, who is appropriate, who is designed for man. She's suitable. She's fit. So I want you to know that God put a woman with a man as a suitable helper. A woman with a man. Not a man with a man. He did not put a woman with a woman and say she is suitable. He didn't design them to even fit. The engineering was made for a man and a woman to fit. All the design, all the plumbing was for them to fit. God said, I'm going to make this thing fit. So a man doesn't fit with a man. Somebody said, you need to be tolerant. We're tolerant. But it just doesn't fit. God didn't design it to fit. He didn't design two women to fit, bumper to bumper. Not even physically and not emotionally. I don't hate to see a man cry. Oh, I'm just so emotional. I had a pastor one time. Every time I was talking to him, he was just crying about stuff going on. I said, man, you need to go to Woman Dog Loose, look like to me. Why are you whining? Be a man. That doesn't mean we can't be sensitive, but, you know, I hate to see a man wimping around. I hate to see him walking funny. I said, bro, you better straighten up there, Doc. But God designed them. He says, I want to make this thing so it's suitable and it's fit. And because they're going to be partners and partnerships, and they're going to have to work together, and everything is going to have to work together. They're going to have to reproduce. All of these has to work together. And the Bible said God designed or God built her as a partner for him. He built her emotionally. He took the man's rib out and he built her out of him so that she's like him in a lot of ways. And then he made her different and he brought her to him to be fit, to be a partner, to be a balance. And he said, you can be all complete now because you have someone who will balance you off. That's the purpose for marriage, to get somebody to balance you off. Don't be in anxiety because your spouse thinks differently than you, because they're designed to think differently than you. Because you're not the same. But both of you are supposed to be able to look at all kinds of directions and get everything together if you back to back taking care of business. Don't fight the difference. Just understand that God made you different, but he made you so you can fit. You know, my wife has a keen sense of smell. Boy, she can smell something funny. Ooh, I smell something funny. I said, I don't smell anything. But I sure can hear. I said, did you hear that noise? She said, I don't hear anything. But don't mess with us. We'll smell and hear. Come on, baby. Let's go find out what that is. You hear it? No, can you smell it? So it's procreation, number one. Partnership, number two. And third, it is a picture to illustrate the Christ relationship to the church. The church is the bride. Christ is the bridegroom. Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. It's a picture of the church, our marriage relationship. So we are procreationists, we're partners, and we are a picture of Christ. So when God wanted to form a union between a man and a woman, he established a three-way agreement between himself, between the man, and the woman, and this is the covenant agreement, the covenant relationship called marriage. It is a three-way agreement, not a two-way agreement. Jesus mentioned this arrangement in Matthew chapter 19, verse 4, when he said, haven't you read? At the beginning, the Creator made them male and female and said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united with his wife, and the two shall become one. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate what God has joined. So he said God was there. And in Malachi chapter 2, verse 14, the Bible said the Lord is acting as a witness between you and the wife of your youth. God himself is the witness. He's the legal accuser. He's the one who's able to give a balanced view of what's going on in your marriage relationship. He's saying, I am here watching. I am the witness. I know who's right. I know who's wrong. I know who's messing up. And I know whose fault it is. I'm the witness. Typically, there's two sides to every story. One person will come talk to me and they'll tell me all kind of things going on in their marriage. And I'm saying, ooh, that's horrible. And I'm feeling so bad for him, and I'm saying to myself, you know, sometimes I have to think personally, then I think biblically. Personally, I say, they ought to kick him out. And then he comes. And by the time he finishes, I'm thinking, oh, Lord, how is he staying there? That's the pancake rule. There's two sides to every pancake. There's two sides to every story. You can't make a judgment until you hear the other side, but God knows both sides. God takes the marriage covenant so seriously that he's saying that my testimony will stand in the courts. And in that court, I'm the judge, I'm the jury, and I'm the witness. Because marriage is a divine covenant and not a human contract, only God can break the covenant. A man cannot override the covenant in which God is the partner in the agreement. It's a three-way agreement. See, God gives us the freedom to marry anybody we want to marry. You find somebody that can look good to you, and you just say, that's who I want. I mean, I want them. That is who I want. I have to have them. I cannot live without them. And you tell all your friends, girl, you just have to have them. And you have to have them now. I can't wait no more. I want to stay saved. I can't wait. God says you can marry anybody you want to marry. He doesn't tell you who to marry. You know, he gives you some guidelines about being unequally yoked and what have you, but you can pick anybody you want to pick. But once you stand before the Lord, when you come, notice what we do. So we pick somebody, we're trying to find a preacher. There are people that call me out of the phone book. Will you do marriages? And they don't even go to church. They want a preacher. They'll pass down the street, whoop in here, do you do weddings? I sure do. We want to get married. They find a preacher. When you say, I do, and God recognized that you looked at each other and you had these married vows, and you stand before God, God says, that's what you want? You say, I do. God honors your agreement. He takes his stamp of approval. When you say, I do, God take out that big stamp he has and stamp covenant on it. You had honeymoon in your eyes, and God had covenant in his. You had gone on that trip and reception and all that stuff, and God stamped it covenant. We stood before the pastor. We stood before God. Then you have marriage problems. Guess where you go? You don't go back to the preacher. You go to the court. Isn't that curious? We come before God to get married and go to the judge to get divorced. But here's what God says. You can go to anybody you want to. And they can tell you that you are no longer married, but I still got covenant stamped on it. God say, you can say you divorce if you want to, but it hadn't been changed in my book. And oh, it got quiet on that one. I don't change it just because you changed it. You didn't come back and ask me. You didn't go to God. You don't want to go back to God because God said, you stay there. Your divorce decree arrives in the mail to say divorce. If you can get one from God, it would say still married. Unless there are some biblical basis for your divorce. There are some. We're going to talk about those. But not many people getting unmarried for biblical basis. Irreconcilable differences. I am not happy anymore. You see these purposes for marriage? Happiness was not in any one of them. Procreation, partnership, and a picture of Christ. It wasn't happiness. If you got married to be happy, as soon as you're not happy anymore, then you want to get unmarried. If you wanted a man who was going to take care of you and provide for you and take care of you, you should have been sure he was working before you married him. Don't marry somebody who's not working and expect them to take care of you. Hello? Don't marry some young lady. You go over there at 4 o'clock in the evening. She's still got the duster and the slides on. And her apartment ain't cleaned up. And you expect somebody to run your house right. And then say, we can't make it because she's not taking care of business. That's what you wanted. That's what you had. You said, I do. I've never been at a wedding where somebody opened somebody's mouth and made them say, I do. You could have said, I really don't want this. You changed your mind. Say, I changed my mind. I'm sitting up here right now, Pastor, but I don't think I want this. I've seen him cry. I'm wondering, is that tears of joy? But you got to think about that. And we're going to talk about that when we come, especially when we talk about submission. Because I'm going to ask the women, you need to ask yourself a question. Can I submit to this man? And if the answer is not yes before you get married, then you ought not get married. You can't submit to him. He's not leading already. You can't stand tall and receive where he is right now. Don't marry potential. Look like he might be something down the line. Look like she might be something, like she might be a good mother. Don't marry potential. Go on a date or something, but don't get married until you understand this is a covenant and I'm not playing. In Matthew 5:32, Jesus said, but I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for marital unfaithfulness, that's one of the reasons, causes her to become an adulteress. And anyone who marries the divorced woman commits adultery. Jesus said that. I didn't say that. That's tough. See, what you saying, Pastor? I ain't saying nothing. I'm just reading the scripture. That's what Jesus said. You can ask him what he meant by that. I'll tell you what he meant by that. You know what he meant by that? This is exactly what he meant by that. He says, I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness, causes her to become an adulteress. And anyone who married a divorced woman commits adultery. That's what Jesus said. Used to get a lot of amens on that. That's before the divorce rate went up. But now folks say, well, you know, God gave me good sense. Oh, you believe in my God shall supply all of my needs? This is the same one, you know, in the same scriptures who said that. You know, this is God speaking. I didn't say this. But if I'm going to be biblical, I just have to break out the word and say, well, this is what the Lord says. Marriage is a divine covenant, a legal agreement, and God is the only one who can break it. Here's what he said in Malachi chapter 2, verse 16. This is what God says now. God says this, I hate divorce. That's what God said. I hate divorce, says the Lord God of Israel. And I hate a man covering himself with violence as well as with his garment, says the Lord Almighty. So guard yourself in your spirit and do not break faith. God hated divorce then, and he hates divorce now. So if you're considering marriage, be sure that you understand that marriage is more than a contract. It is a covenant agreement between a husband and a wife and God. Everybody's in it. God's in it. If you're considering a divorce, be sure that you have God's permission and God's support for the action you are about to take, because God still has the record of who's married and who's not. I want to pray for families and marriages. It's always appropriate to do so. We never know when we're going to hit stormy weather. And I want you to join us as we pray. I'm going to ask right now that those who would like us to join especially with you to pray for marriages or a marriage, it doesn't necessarily have to be yours. It could be a loved one who's really going through some things, a child whose marriage is in trouble, a parent whose marriage is in trouble, a sister or a brother, or perhaps even yourself. We want to stand firm right now and pray and ask God to give grace and favor and wisdom, guidance, reconciliation in those situations.
We are living in very critical times in our culture. We can use all the help we can get with our marriage and family relationships. This is Jerry G. Martin, and thank you again for listening to our broadcast. Hopefully, we are shedding some light and the Word of God that will help all of us to be better husbands, be better wives, to be better children, to be better parents. God wants a healthy and whole family. You can go to our podcast and hear today's message as well as previous messages. Just go to The Light of the World Daily, Light of the World Daily, Jerry G. Martin, and you can hear this broadcast again, and you can share it with someone that you think might benefit from it. God wants to reach you where you are, and we're here to help you. I don't know what you're going through. You may be in a marriage that's rocky and failing. God is able to help. We're standing by this month to pray for every person who would like prayer for their marriage and family relationship. Call us at this number, 281-964-1393. Again, that's 281-964-1393. You can either leave a prayer request or one of our prayer team members will join you in prayer. We believe God is able to help us through every trial and every situation. Join us at lowcf.org for our Sunday online services at 10 a.m. Again, that's lowcf.org. www.oldtimeradio.org. Or you can join us in person at 16161 Old Humble Road. Again, that's 16161 Old Humble Road, 10 o'clock Sunday mornings. Now, for the light of the world, may the Lord our God richly bless you, and we'll be with you again next time.